We're running a poll on our Facebook page this morning. Should election posters be banned, yay or nay? Early days, but over 100 votes, and so far 88% of those who've responded would like to see the back of election posters. That's also the case in some towns and villages across Clare, where Todgy Towns groups have made appeals to some of the candidates to stay out, effectively. Cormac McCarthy is on the line, chairman of Ennis Todgy Towns. Cormac, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thanks for joining us. You're one of these areas, I feel, not the only one, but what exactly are you asking of candidates?
I suppose what we asked prior to the last local election, we sent a request into Clare County Council and in particular the incumbent elected members and asked them to have Ennis as an election-free zone. And now that was put forward as a motion and it was supported for the entirety of the Ennis Municipal District. But I suppose just to stress, it's a voluntary code. We have no right to say it can't happen. It's entirely up to the candidates themselves. So that's why we're respectfully asking candidates in the general election to, I suppose, adhere to this election-free zone. Now, I know even leaving the house this morning, there are posters up. But, so we're hoping that the Ennis Municipal District will be election poster-free.
Okay, and just to be clear, Ballyvaughan, Carfin, they've made similar calls. Mm-hmm. Newmarket and Fergus have had a traditional, quote-unquote, ban on election posters as well. I don't know if there's other areas that you're aware of, but there's dozens of communities across the country that have taken this step as well.
Oh yes, absolutely. There is a campaign posterfreezone.ie and at the moment there are 193 poster-free areas around the country. So it's very encouraging and it seems to be building year on year on year. And you even see on social media there's a lot of the candidates are respecting this wish of the local group. So look, it's kind of a staple of elections, but I do think we need to shift away from their use.
Why?
Well, I suppose the first thing is they're a corrugated plastic. So in terms of how there's a real green consciousness out there now that they are considered a single-use plastic. Now, I know some candidates have said they will use them in future campaigns, and that is possible. But they are considered a single-use plastic. And the EU has brought out a condition that the top 10, of which election posters aren't in the top 10, but the top 10 single-use plastics need to be banned by 2021. They are promoting a circular economy whereby we won't have this type of waste. So really, the days of going, it's always been this way and it works, let's keep going with it, we kind of need to be a bit more inventive and imaginative because, look, let's face it, turf, oil, coal works very well at heating houses, but there is that awareness there now that it is impacting the environment and we're looking at new ways, okay. There's geothermal, there's solar. So just because it always worked, I suppose that can create a little bit of laziness and people don't come up with new ways of doing it. So I think this campaign is very useful in that it's bringing it to people, it's bringing it into the media, people are talking about it, and it might spur this change that is needed.
Okay, stay with us, Cormac. Teresa Reedy is on the line. She's a political scientist in UCC. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning.
Do election posters work?
They play a very important role in elections, and they're really important for new candidates and for small political parties to alert the wider voting public that they're running for election. We also know that about 10% of people tell us that they actually found them especially useful and they cite election posters over all other sources of information as being very important for them. And that's why I think we have to be very careful before we decide to get rid of them, because at the last elections, more than 50% of people didn't vote. Prior general election, 35% of people didn't vote. So before we restrict the information environment for voters, we should probably reflect on the fact that we already have a large number of voters who don't get the political information that they need and don't see the political system as being relevant to them.
But I mean, it's not hard to get political information. Goodness knows, you turn on the radio or the television at the minute, you'll do well to avoid it.
Not true, you see, because political advertising is actually illegal in Ireland. Mm. So if you're an individual candidate or say you're from a small political party running in Clare, you can't actually advertise on Radio Clare. You can't advertise on RTE, even if you could afford to do that.
Sure.
You actually are prohibited from advertising.
But you can
advertise on television.
You can advertise on social media. You can run campaigns there. There's the traditional out and about on the doorsteps campaign. You can still get yourself out there as a candidate.
Well, I'm glad you actually brought up the social media, because this is one of the most worrying things, that the suggestion is that social media would work as an effective alternative. Actually, we spend a lot of time working on the problems with social media advertising. Social media is consumed as an individual in a private space. And we know that what has been happening in elections all over the world is that different people are getting different types of advertisements, especially even from the same candidate. So they're using your browser history, your friend's profile on Facebook, to develop and devise particular targeted advertising, which individuals are then actually consuming on their own. So they don't see the same types of advertising. And this is posing really significant problems, because other candidates don't know what's being said about them. The great thing about posters is that they're public and that they're visible to everybody. So if a candidate puts something on a poster, it's possible for somebody else to rebuff or reject the content of that particular poster.
And what's your response to what Cormac had to say in an environmental sense?
Well, I mean, there's no defending on them on environmental grounds. I do think it's important to say that a very large number of candidates reuse them, especially because they're very expensive. And there are very strict limits. So that's why I think this campaign is strange, because it's not kind of producing any alternative options for candidates. Okay. A lot of other European countries, for example, rent hoardings where the posters for all of the candidates are displayed at particular places around towns and around villages. And that can work well, but banning them is very reactionary. Okay. And it's not really understanding that democracy is not an inconvenience. It's very important that democracies are supported and managed, because we've seen all across Europe where very illiberal forces have taken hold, often using social media as a primary channel of sending its misinformation.
Cormac, your response to that?
Good morning, Teresa. I suppose, look, I would agree with Teresa on some level. And what we're not saying, it's not a ban. We have no authority to ban it. This is a voluntary code. But I suppose just some of the things that Teresa said, like 10% found the posters very useful. That means 90% didn't find them as useful. We're not talking about restricting information. And to be honest, ultimately, all a poster will provide is a headshot and the party, or whether they're an independent. So really, you know, and there's other things like the mail drops, like they're continuing. Hmm. I think what needs to be done,
are they
though,
not worse for the environment?
Well, see, this is what
there's
I was
so
going
many
to say.
Of them.
It needs to be looked at very holistically, I think, because I know even in our house, we have, from incumbent candidates, we have received not only postal information with that plastic windowed envelope, which again, unless you remove that plastic window, won't be recycled. But we've also had then their canvassers coming to the door with more material. So we're very much in favour of preserving democracy. And even when you look at the local elections last year, this kind of movement towards restricting or this voluntary code of practice on posters led to some really interesting things. I think it was like there was the debates on Clare FM. I'm not too sure if it was the Clare PPN, but each electoral area had public debates where all the candidates were invited
to.
And when they say we're not providing alternatives, like, with all due respect, the alternatives need to come up with the people who want to be elected. What we're saying is, environmentally, this is not sustainable. And whilst some may be reused, and indeed some may be recycled, in terms of the waste management hierarchy, they're down the line. The first thing you redo is you reduce. But again, these alternatives, like in Europe, and again, we've had even committee members on holidays, they've been advocating for this as well, that, you know, they've seen these central hoardings where everyone gets an equal opportunity, which would, I suppose, in some ways, bridge
kind
that gap.
Kind of a halfway house.
And it would bridge the gap as well between the large political parties and the independents, that, you know, you're not going to have an absolute plethora of large election polls. I'll lead you this. I think Waterford Whispers News really hit the nail on the head. They had a post there on their social media, and the title was, "Commuter settled on electoral candidate after seeing 783rd identical poster." And that's what we want to avoid.
Teresa, to yourself, finally, and briefly, please, if you don't mind, there's a growing campaign here. will political parties ultimately have to respond to it just because of public pressure and change their behaviour?
I'm not at all sure that they will, actually, because for new candidate posters are really crucial for them. And I mean, it's important just to kind of fish up. But when we say that 10% of people found them useful, it's not that they look at a poster on the wall and decide I'll vote for that person. Mm. It's that the posters alert them to the fact that there's an election taking place in a very visible demonstration. And they may seek out more information about those particular candidates thereafter. But this is a public way of alerting people, and our elections should be conducted in public, however inconvenient that is for us. Pushing it into a private space it holds very significant dangers.
I appreciate both of you for joining us this morning. Teresa Reedy is a political scientist at UCC. Cormac McCarthy is the chair of Ennis Tidy Towns. Kilwish and Kilkee, I'm told, they've also got these poster free codes, shall be called, in this morning. But our Facebook poll, 200 of you now voted, and still that 90% want them banned, 10% want to keep them.